Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Andrew DeWolf.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew to like musical theater. And you know what? I'm fucking sick of this. I'm sick of Andrew Lloyd Webber coming in and being like, this inanimate object, the musical. Cats, the musical. A coat,
cats,
the musical.
Aren't
and now we've got Trains, the musical.
I mean, I've already stated that I believe the Webberverse theory, where they're all connected, it's all one universe, since we never see any cats in any of the other shows. But I feel as though there is an argument to be made that this show flies in the face of it.
Why do you say that?
Well, a lot of the theory relies on the fact that we don't see any cats, right?
Right.
But then, if you go to cats, particularly in the movie, we do see trains.
There's a railway cat. All right, this week, by the Patreon request of one Joseph Evans Green, who loves to make us watch garbage. This is the gentleman that brought us We Will Rock You, and...
It's always English garbage, dude.
Yeah, English garbage. I'm pretty sure you requested Fame. That, and now we're here at Starlight Express. Cue the music, Bree.
You've used everything inside you, so maybe it's time you tried to find a brand new power to shine a light.
A light to burn.
Starlight Express is a musical with music by Andrew Lloyd Webber and lyrics by Richard Stilgo and additional lyrics by Lauren Aquilina, Don Black, Nick Kohler, and David Yazbek. And the book was also by Richard Stilgo. It was based on the idea that trains exist. And the first production of Starlight Express opened on March 27th of 1984 at the Apollo Victoria Theater. It was directed by Trevor Nunn, Arlene Phillips, and Arlene Phillips created the roller skating choreography. The plot of the musical is, it tells the story of a young but obsolete steam engine, Rusty, who races in a championship against modern engines in the hope of impressing a first-class carriage, Pearl. Famously, the actors perform the entire show on roller skates. And that's it. Andrew, what happens in Starlight Express? I want to know. I've watched it twice. I still don't quite know if I got it.
All right, I'll give you my impression of it because I'm not sure there is a story. So you got Rusty and you got another Train, Dinah.
Dinah, she's one of...
And they like each other?
No, Pearl is the one he likes. Dinah's the funny one.
Oh, Dinah's the funny one. Pearl is the one he likes. Okay.
Yes.
They look the same because everyone is dressed like
Not
a train.
Not all trains look alike, Andrew.
Yes, they do. and then there's like some other trains. You've got Papa, the other one,
Dusty.
I'm gonna Dustin. Be real though. They are trains in name and costume only, because in every other sense they do not function like trains.
What you mean?
It's like Cars. Like, you know how Cars the movie, like, they're technically they're cars, but nothing in the plot has anything to do with the fact that they're cars. I don't know. Rusty wants to be the best racer, and he wants to become a better engine. He wants to get upgraded.
He doesn't want to be a steam engine. He wants to be a diesel engine. Yeah, that's it. That's the difference.
So he wants to be upgraded to pollute the environment more.
Yes.
Although actually that might not be true. Burning coal might actually pollute more. I don't know. I'm not an EPA person here. Okay. What actually happens is...
Cars. The movie Cars. You've seen it.
They race, and you're like, oh, that was kind of cool. They went around the stage, and they, like, went up, and, like, there's, like, things up above the stage, and they went over a bridge. That was pretty cool. And then they do it again, and then they do it again. And you know the rule of, like, three, where, like, usually you do things three times?
Yeah.
They do it a fourth time. They just do it again.
I mean...
So they do this four times. They do the race thing four times. This show is only an hour and a half long.
You're forgetting the mega mix at the end where they just sing all the songs again.
Why would I fucking want to see that?
So it would make the musical 2 hours, so it's the same as every other musical on Broadway.
Now it's worth the ticket price.
Yeah. No, you're laughing, but that's seriously what they did. Did the same thing with Joseph, too.
They put in a mega mix where they sing all the songs, and you're laughing?
Hey, Andrew, want to hear a fun fact that'll make you feel real good?
Oh, yeah, sure, let's hear it.
This show holds the record as the 9th longest running theatrical production in West End history, having been performed 7,409 times between 1984 and 2002. It is also the most successful musical in Germany, where it has been performed on a purpose-built theater since 1988. I don't know why I just thought I'd tell you that.
Fucking why? Who likes this? It's so fucking boring.
Joseph Evans Green likes it.
Fuck. I'm sorry. This is one of the worst shows we've ever watched on here.
It doesn't touch We Will Rock You. I will say that. We Will Rock You is 3 hours long.
We Will Rock You is 3 hours long, so it can't touch that by virtue of being shorter. But honestly, if this was 3 hours long, this would be worse than We Will Rock You. I fucking hate this show. Good Lord, it is so fucking boring.
But I know that every musical is likely to be at least two or three people's favorite musical. But I don't care. Starlight Express really, really is a rough watch.
It is so bad. I can't even keep track of the characters because there's simultaneously like no characters and too many characters at the same time. It's like, who is Dinah? Who is Pearl? I don't even I've watched it and I don't understand the relation between these characters.
So Pearl is the love interest that won't fall for Rusty because she had a dream that she was with a specific kind of steam train that had a specific whistle. So she would not be with Rusty because he didn't quite do the whistle. And then later he does the whistle. Strong female character. Dinah is the comedy one that is coupled to the bad guy. And then gets uncoupled and then sings the one funny song and then disappears. She was played by Jane Krakowski in the original Broadway production, and that's the only thing worth stating about her. Do you want me to go through the rest of them?
Who's Papa?
Papa is Rusty's Obi-Wan character.
Okay, yeah, because he's the one who introduces the Starlight Express theme.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh God, who is the red caboose?
His name is CB, or CD... Yeah, CB.
Why does he have a song about liking crime?
Because he's the rapscallion one that likes to throw a wrench in everyone's day. He likes causing accidents.
Do you have a list? right now? Do you have like, you're like reading from a list?
Nope. I am telling you what I remember. Andrew, I don't think you understand. I watched this show 3 fucking times. You only watched it once.
Why would you watch it?
Because I didn't understand
times.
What happened! Andrew, I wanted to understand this more than I wanted to understand anything else in my life. I wanted to understand why people like this. People have been spitting at me. Starlight Express is like one of Andrew Lane Webber's secret good ones. No, it isn't.
It's the secret good one. This is the secret good one?
Apparently, roller skates. Fuck. This broke good me, Lord. Andrew. What is this, episode 160 whatever? This broke me.
They didn't even do anything cool with the roller skates.
They almost killed a bunch of actors, but it doesn't even look that cool.
Good Lord, they do like one trick. I remember one guy does a split.
So you know that bridge that occasionally comes out and they go across it?
Yeah.
Sometimes it wouldn't work and then they just fall 20 feet.
Wait, did they actually?
Yes, that was a thing. One actor fell 20 feet. Threw out his knee, he went off at stage and iced it, finished the show, then 2 days later he tries to do a bow, his knee shatters.
What? This is real? Are you fucking joking?
No!
Me?
And it gave me anxiety to watch these poor actors nearly kill themselves. It's not a fun watch. The spectacle isn't impressing me.
What? Like, I understand spectacle or whatever, but what is the point of the bridge? Why does it go up and down? Why couldn't you just build two bridges?
Because then you'd block the mezzanine from being able to see the stage, Andrew.
Then maybe just don't have...
You know what? That's fair. You know what? So let me tell you a little bit about the production of this show. Half of this crew were brought in. This was kind of sneakily brought to Broadway. Andrew Lloyd Webber had no interest in bringing this West End production, which was considerably smaller and much more reasonable. It was the same show, but at a more reasonable kind of venue and like expectation of actors. Sure, there was a lot of like roller skating injuries, but basic stuff. Then they come to Broadway and they're like, we need to make this as big as possible. We're going to add these like bridges. We're going to make a 20-foot hit like hill in the middle so everyone can skate around and like
Yeah, it's like a skate park in the middle there.
Yes. They did all these cool things for Broadway, and Andrew Lloyd Webber sabotaged it by an opening night writing a letter in the program saying, like, you know, this is kind of just meant for stupid kids, and, like, I never really intended it to go anywhere.
Why would you say that about your own show?
I don't fucking know. But since it was sneakily brought to the Broadway, and a lot of the British creatives have moved on to another show that also was going to move to Broadway at the same time, they're like being pulled in both directions from two new Broadway theaters. And you know what that show was?
What's that?
A show that no one's ever heard of called Les Miserables, where literally most of the production team is working on Les Miserables and then kind of like, oh yeah, Starlight Express. All right, I've got to go over there. So that Tony's year, they lost to themselves. Like, most of the higher production team, Trevor Nunn won Best Director, not for Starlight Express, but for, like, imagine being both a laughingstock and highly respected in the same season.
You know what? Good for them for not having this be their only show that they were working on. Good Lord.
It just shows you the state of Broadway at the time. The European invasion was so big because we had so very few American composers. The only one really that was doing major work at the time was like Sondheim, which is why you have that feud going on between him and Lloyd Webber, because a lot of the Broadway community was facing AIDS at the starting of AIDS at this time.
Yeah.
It's just I'm mad. This show's not good. It's really not good.
I don't know. Trying to think of positive stuff, like, it's kind of hard, honestly. Like, usually there's something where I could be like, I guess I could see someone liking this, but like...
Okay. The actors, the strenuous position they're in, they're doing a great job.
Yeah, the problem with that is, though, you kind of just feel bad for them and you're not actually that impressed. Like, I feel bad for these people who just honestly look kind of silly roller skating around the stage. It's like, I don't see the point. Like, what are you doing?
Andrew Lloyd Webber was trying to strike the same, like, beautiful ground that he hit with Cats, but he fails so badly here.
I feel like Cats only works because of the impressive level of dancing, and I'm sorry, the roller skating in this does not equate. Especially, it is a gimmick, and especially when 4 times for the show, they bring out the same stunt, and I'm sorry, introducing it with a little kid saying, like, all the names of the train, it just makes your show feel like a joke.
Fun
like,
fact, the little kid was also across the way playing Gavroche and Les Mis in the Broadway show, doing double duty. It was a pre-recorded thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you want to know a little bit of the history of Starlight Express?
I am curious.
So it had its roots in three abandoned projects. First is an animated TV series based on Thomas the Tank Engine, which we've brought up many times. It was before the show, the one that we all know, the PBS show, really became a thing. So it was like just based on the books. And that fell through for obvious reasons. Then he wanted to do a novelty pop single with this gentleman that could somehow hit three notes all at once. So it kind of sounded like a train whistle. It was pretty neat. And then an animated film based on Cinderella.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So the first one, he approached the author about adapting it into a TV animated series where he'd do all the music. And they just kind of weren't interested. And then he was commissioned to do a pilot for this Cinderella thing where they're competing to... the prince would hold a competition to decide which engine would pull the royal train across the United States of America, pandering to the U.S. people. Cinderella would be a steam engine and the ugly stepsisters would be a diesel and electric engine. It fell apart, and then he took what little pieces were there and he brought them into Starlight Express.
So this is actually the original Lloyd Webber Cinderella.
Yeah, if you think about it. that's a good reference. I appreciate it. That was funny. It still leaves me baffled. Like, none of those fucking lines track to where we are today.
Look, it's for people who like trains. And by like trains, I mean they like people that are dressed as trains. And it has actually nothing to do with actual trains.
Okay.
So the...
what else do we say?
The market for this is quite small. But apparently it found it in Germany.
I mean, yes, Germany loves this show. It has never stopped playing. I have watched some German productions. They eat this shit up.
I don't understand. I honestly, I'm trying to remember any song other than Starlight Express, and I cannot. I straight up cannot.
So Rusty is this main character that just wants to win, but it's not like he just barely keeps in. He fails every time and then is suddenly just given the award at the end. That bothered me a lot. Maybe it's a me thing.
It's the kid. The kid is apparently, I think we're supposed to interpret it as like, this is a kid playing with his toy train set, and
yes.
The kid just keeps letting him back in.
And I guess you could go with child logic. Of course a child. Child decides a narrative. Lego movie bullshit.
But why make it so blatant?
I don't know. Laziness of the writers, probably.
And it kind of, it doesn't even feel like it makes that much sense. He loses every race, and then at the end, he just wins.
Yeah, and then they give him the award. Like, it feels like cheating. I'm not gonna lie. I don't feel happy for Rusty. I feel like he cheated to get to the end.
He kind of did. He's got plot armor. I don't know.
So this is a very frustrating watch. I see very little redeeming value. But who gives a shit what we think? Andrew, I want to hear about the Webberverse.
Yeah. How does this fit into the Webberverse? So, I mean, we've discussed it in the past. The Webberverse is part Christian biblical stories, part cats, and part
Evita.
Opera houses that are haunted. Yeah, and then, of course, we have fascist dictators.
Wherever they fit in.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to say, I'm going to take one from the Pixar theory here, because this is clearly a universe where trains are sentient.
Trains. Let's say toy trains are sentient.
So I guess it could be Toy Story logic then. Maybe
that's
the
what
trains
I'm going with.
Are toys, and toy trains can come to life when no one's looking.
That would line up. That tracks. That's fine.
Which is why we only really see the trains singing about anything that they care about when there isn't a race happening. Because whenever there's a race happening, the kid is there and he's actually the one controlling the train.
Maybe the kid is God. Have you thought about that?
No, because that would take away from the toy train aspect of it.
Maybe. Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Although I would argue that in Toy Story, children are analogs for gods.
I mean, that's just the text. That's not like in the movie. That's like our text that we take away.
Yeah, it's more of a subtext, but I mean, you could argue in this, it is the full text.
Yeah, that's fair. So this does not break your Webberverse theory at all.
I suppose you're right. As long as we interpret these as not real trains.
They're just toy trains. Yes. Stand by this. I agree.
All right. Yeah. So the Weberverse, it still stands. You know, I have to say Weber hasn't done a whole lot with the crossover aspect of his Weberverse.
Not yet. But you say that like he's done.
I'm hoping in the future we start seeing it. I mean, I am assuming that in Cinderella we are going to see some... I saw a clip of James Corden, and he was definitely like a humanoid mouse.
No. It's not that. Those are two Cinderellas.
Oh, okay, never mind.
I mean, I appreciate the hustle, but that's a different Cinderella. There's too many Cinderellas is what we're telling you.
I literally cannot keep track.
Is it the train Cinderella or is it the real Cinderella?
Well, I'm hoping that in Weber's Cinderella, there is a James Corden mouse as well, but I guess probably not.
If they ever get into movies, I'm curious where School of Rock's going to fit in when we get there.
School of Rock is actually a movie within the Weberverse.
Oh, is that the hill you're going to die on?
No.
All right.
though I will say he has done crossovers within the School of Rock, so we do have to account that into...
Oh, yeah. What about that Today Show performance where all of them start singing the School of Rock song?
Which I believe that is canon.
That is canon? All right. That's fair. All right, Andrew. Why don't
what
we
critics think of this
yeah,
show?
Yeah, I think
I'm
it's time for
curious.
Us to talk about the critics.
They have to hate this.
So, as we've brought up many times in the show, it has become a recurring theme on the show. West End audiences and Broadway audiences are two very different beasts.
Yes.
West End loves garbage, is what we're saying.
That literally is generally the conclusion that we are forced to come to every single
time.
We
don't want to come to that. It's not something we want to believe, but it's just something that is tending to happen, whether we like it or not.
I don't understand, but you British people, you have to stop liking trash.
Good shows exist, you know?
You don't have to dig through the garbage every time you go to see a show.
I mean, they created Andrew Lloyd Webber. Andrew, why don't you read the first review and I'll read the second one?
Sure. For our first review, we have Frank Rich of the New York Times.
Who is known as Andrew Lloyd Webber's rival in America. They do not like each other, and he is always torn apart every Lloyd Webber show.
Good. And he said, of the original Broadway production, in a full-page program note, the composer Andrew Lloyd Webber modestly explains that he conceived his new musical, Starlight Express, as an entertainment event for children who love trains.
Let's stop right there for a second.
Oh, sure.
What the fuck does that even mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber? I don't imagine any child that is really obsessed with the Amtrak really loving this musical.
You know, I had a VHS tape as a child, and it was a like Christmas train tape, and I liked it a lot, and I would watch it, and there was... It was all videos of just trains going by, different types of trains.
What,
and I thought it was
what
really
makes it
cool.
Christmassy? Like, are they decorated?
They were decorated. They had lights on them. It was very cool. And you know what's really interesting? This show is absolutely nothing at all like that because there are no trains in this show. There's none. There are zero trains.
There is nothing, like, trains don't race each other. They're on a track.
Yeah.
They can't roam freely.
You wouldn't race trains because you would know which one would win immediately because of just, you could look at the power of the engine and how straight the track is, and that would be the faster one.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Not saying there isn't fun to be had with the idea of trains. You could do something with, like, randomized railways that switch and that decides... Like, there is a possibility of something cool with, like, a train race idea.
That's not what they did, though. They
no,
just
it
had
isn't.
People roller skate around the stage while a child goes, oh, now this one's in the lead. Oh, and then now this one's in the lead. Oh, and he's falling off the track.
My favorite part is they knew for a fact that accidents were going to happen, so they also choreographed accidents in so they'd blend in. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's slightly brilliant, but also, like, man, you guys knew you were damaging your actors. Continue
right,
with the review.
Let's continue. Over two numbing hours later, you may find yourself wondering exactly whose children he has in mind. A confusing jamboree of piercing noise, routine roller skating, misogyny, and Orwellian special effects. Starlight Express is the perfect gift for the kid who has everything except parents.
What the f- That's a good line. That's a great line.
Like other Lloyd Webber projects, from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat to Cats and Requiem, this one tries to mitigate such vulgarity by wrapping itself in the deity. In fact, the title, Starlight Express, alludes to God, and when his spirit appears in Act 2, Mr. Napier and the lighting designer David Hersey are inspired to achieve the one effect worthy of their work in Les Miserables. A nocturnal celestial blur suddenly obliterates the dehumanizing metallic harshness of the set, and for that brief instant renders the show transporting. The company's youngest and most vocal performer is Braden Danner, playing a little boy who tries to impose order and drum up suspense by reciting a continuous play-by-play commentary through the public address system. The narration, however, has been recorded on tape. As the playbill explains, Brandon is currently appearing live as Gavroche in Les Miserables, the living proof that kids are not as gullible as the adults behind Starlight Express seem to think.
So he didn't pull no punches.
He didn't have to.
I agree completely with what Frank Rich had to say. It's a sad thing. Everything he said is on point.
I find his, I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't try to do very much analysis on this show, but I do find his inserting of God into Starlight Express, I didn't really think of it that way.
Is this their fourth religious musical, if you think about it that way?
I suppose so.
So we got Joseph, Jesus, Evita, and Starlight.
Yeah, and I guess he's saying the Cats and Requiem as well.
Oh yeah, Cats, they have the Heaviside layer.
Yeah.
I've not looked into Requiem that much.
I don't know that one.
So is every Lloyd Webber musical technically about connection to God?
I mean, it would explain why all of them are so bland.
Man, I wonder if how he ties the School of Rock into that one. Like, is Mr. Schneebly really trying to get attached to Jesus?
I've touched your kids, and I'm pretty sure they've touched me too.
The movie's got some great lines.
Bada bing. Let's see the next one.
All right.
Oh, Lord. This is not going to be good, is it?
So this is from Liz Coggins of the Yorkshire Post. And she said this of the 2012 West End production. It's hard to imagine how a story of racing toy trains can thrill and excite an audience. But with the cast on roller skates, a musical score by Andrew Lloyd Webber, electrifying roller choreography by Arlene Phillips, and what can only be described as sheer technical wizardry, Starlight Express is a high-speed escapism. It follows the dreams of a child whose greatest love is his toy trains, who come to life with turbocharged energy to take part in the greatest race of all time. Although the storyline is predictable, the underdog will win both the race and the love of his life. It's the sheer speed, glitz, and spectacle that make this show an amazing piece of theater. Starlight Express is blessed with a highly talented cast, a fabulous feel-good factor, and tunes you will be humming long after you've left the theater. It really is worth buckling up and jumping aboard this bank holiday.
That's an advertisement. She was paid to write that.
Andrew, it was a very big success in the West End. What can I say?
Okay, why do we as Americans allow the stereotype of Americans being like lowbrow and British people being all posh and highbrow to continue? I mean, this show is proof that British people are the lowbrow ones. I mean, they're the ones watching this stuff. Come on, come on.
I don't know, Andrew. I think it's complicated.
You know, on some level, if this was playing in like Ohio or something, they might go crazy for it.
Because like the We Will Rock You of the world is also, well, that wasn't really popular in America. That was a West End thing. What the fuck? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Maybe just British people are more self-aware and they're like, oh, it's good fun. It's a good time of the show. Where we're Americans are like, we want chuckles. We want tits and ass.
Yeah, but like I do want those things and I didn't have a good time. This wasn't a laugh. I was not having a giggle, mate. I don't know.
I don't know what to say. I definitely don't agree with that review. How about we go shill at our audience and then pretend we care about the songs?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's go, guys.
Mm-hmm. Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Hey, folks, it's time for us to shill at you. Do you want to also be able to choose a musical that we have barely anything to say about because it's just that mind-numbingly boring? Then you, too, can join our Patreon, and at a certain level, you can decide what we're talking about on this show. Andrew, tell us about Patreon and list those names.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, go to Patreon. You can get commentary tracks from us, and you can make us watch this.
Thanks, Joseph Evans Green. I'm so glad I'm talking about Starlight Express.
Wow.
I love it so much. Great. Aren't we having a blast? Aren't you loving it, audience?
The Weberverse has been expanded. All right, our current patrons are Melissa Goldman, Terry Needleman, John Donna, Leighton Ackles, Danielle Renix, Jess the Stampede, Ewan Cassidy, Tess Gear, Fire of September, Monica Thoreau, Mina Maniri, Brent Black, Haley Murray, Lathaniel Stacey Coombe, Joseph Evans Green, Carrie Ahern. Not Carrie Ahern, Joseph Evans Green.
Yeah, Carrie Ahern, you're wonderful.
Yeah. Mary Lou Choquette, John Vanals, Russ Walker, Musical Hell, Emily Gracie, Tablam, Kyle Summers, Janae C., Scoot in the Technicolor Dreamcoat, Felice A., Liz Lim, Allison Stuller, Nothing is Certain Except Beth and Taxes, John Vanals, Thesbian, Ren Cullen, Wait in the Wings, Jacob Stroop, Rithiel, Martinez Salaz, Robert Benjamin, Rochelle T., Jessica T., Genevieve Hartnett, Cass, Mitchell Young, Chai Teacup, Katie McDonough, Timothy Keys, Jeffrey Machado, Toon Van Essen, R. Elliott, Chris Marcutt, Katie Turberg, Tamimu Robinson, Kiji Marie Anastasio, Leela, RJ Noriga, Sebastian Canino, Avon Regan, Lizzie Canes, I think that's Lizzie Canes, Lizzie Canes, Charlie B., Patrick Deering, Julia McLena, and Courtney Schreiner.
They give us a little financial support that helps us keep the lights on here, Musicals to Cheese. If you'd like to join them in suggesting terrible musicals for us to cover, come join them. It'll be great. Wait,
you can suggest good ones, too.
Yeah, as
an option.
Yeah, that is an option. You don't have to suggest garbage every time.
You can even suggest ones that like are mediocre that like maybe we'd like, you know, like
yeah.
Just anything.
Yeah, Mina Maniri is great at finding the ones at least there's something interesting to talk about. I will give much credit.
You could find us something that isn't like some sort of West End garbage that only a German could watch.
On that note, let's get back to the show.
About to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I'm just the fastest thing you'll ever see. That streak of lightning you just missed was me. Don't stop now, you gotta keep it going all night. You got no lovers, you got no friends. Come on and heat me up the way you do, and I can keep it going longer than you. Don't stop now, you gotta keep it going all night.
So Rolling Stock is the one number that I remember.
You can remember one.
Yes,
how does this one go?
Rolling Stock. Rolling Stock. It's Greaseball and this gang talking about how great it is, Rolling Stock.
Greaseball, that rapscallion, that memorable character. We never mentioned him when we were talking about what the show was about.
He's the bad guy, you know? He's the bully character.
He's the guy. He's that guy.
You know the story. Before you've even sat down in the theater, you know what the story is. As soon as you see this guy, oh, he's the one that's going to get come up. Didn't AC Rusty? Oh, the underdog. Oh, the moon. I know what's going to happen.
He gets a song before Rusty, by the way.
He's the opening, in fact.
I think he actually gets two songs before Rusty.
He gets one and a half. It's
Rolling Stock.
Right? They sing what they do when they like to do it. Are you gonna act like we have something to say here? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, you wonderful, wonderful listener that's made it this far. I thought, you know what? Maybe they have more nuance to bring to Starlight Express.
Nope.
No, you're wrong. I'm sorry to disappoint you. The Cheese Gang's left speechless.
Roll in stock.
What'd you think of the song?
Well, now that I can remember one line from it, this was probably one of the best songs in the show.
Because you remember one line and how it goes.
Also, I mean, Greaseball and his gang, I mean, those guys were killing it all the whole time.
They seem like they know how to go. They know how
Greaseball,
to
Greaseball won most of the races, right?
I mean, I think Greaseball is the most competent. He's worked the hardest. And yeah, he's a little bit of a dickhead. But you know what? He put the effort in. Rusty did.
All I gotta say is that Rusty got kicked out of the tournament at the first bracket, and Greaseball won every single one of them, and somehow Rusty still gets to the finals.
You know what?
How does
fucking justice for Greaseball?
Like, I don't care if you're a dick. If you're, it's a sport. If you're good at the sport, you're supposed to win. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't give a shit if you're an underdog. Like, if Rusty was like coming in second or like third and like slowly progressed to get better at least place.
He straight up couldn't even finish the first or the third race. I remember this.
He's a real Anakin Skywalker is what we're saying.
Literally, the third race was supposed to be the final, and Rusty crashes, and the kid just comes in and is like, oh, we're canceling the race because he crashed. It's like, no, he loses. Right?
I'm with you. I agree. The rules make no sense.
Because then in the fourth race, Greaseball crashes, and then they're like, Rusty wins. It's like, no, you canceled it last time when someone crashed. This is justice for Greaseball.
Justice for Greaseball. He's an asshole, yes, but he played the sport. He followed the rules mostly. Until the rules started changing at a whim, he mostly followed them.
He followed them at least as well as Rusty did. I mean, I'm like, come on.
You're right. Justice for Greaseball. What can I say?
Good lord.
This is where you brought us to, Joseph Evans Green. You might have broken us.
What other songs
are
there?
Let's talk about Call Me Rusty for a second.
Call me Rusty if you like. Rusty's how I look and Rusty's my name. Slow corrosion is eroding my frame. Call me Rusty if you like. rusty if you must. It isn't nice, but I admit that it fits. For a dead end engine falling to bits. Call me rusty if you like.
Come on, Rusty, come on, Rusty, come on, Rusty.
That's your name.
Well, that's the question. So this song is Rusty's I Am song, where he's like, call me Rusty, that's my name, and that's also what they call me. I'm Rusty on the outside, but it's also my name. I'm like,
the actual lyrics?
It's more like, let me see if I can pull up the lyrics and see if you could tell the difference.
Really, only one lyric stood out to me enough that,
Let me see if I can find
that these. I remembered it.
These lyrics. Hold on. Oh my god. Okay, let me just say, this song has a fucking Wikipedia article. Like, it has its own, like, Starlight Express wiki article. Let me reframe that. So the lyrics are...
There's a Starlight Express wiki.
All right, so the lyrics are, call me Rusty if you like. Rusty's how I look, and Rusty's my name. Slow corrosion is eroding my frame. Call me Rusty if you like. So, is it your name or is it a nickname? Do they call it you because of your fucking look or that your fucking birth name?
Call him Rusty, that's his name, but it's also what he looks like. Look, we can't do this. What other songs are there to talk about here?
Let's talk about He Whistled At Me, Pearls I Want song, where she's like, I saw this train in my dream and he whistled at me and I want that train. And we all know it's Rusty, why are we wasting time? This should have been a half hour kids special.
He whistled at me. Can you imagine if Thomas was in this? Like, if this was a Thomas musical?
I will say that Thomas the Tank Engine and the Magic Railroad understood trains better than this musical.
Look, Thomas the Tank Engine is actually a tank engine. You know, like, when I'm watching Thomas, if I'm a kid that's into trains, there's a train on screen. When I'm watching this and I'm a kid that's into trains, I'm like, why are all these roller skaters here?
They put money into this.
Can you imagine trying to roller skate around and you got a little train engine on your head?
Good Lord. I would question so much of my life choices up to that point. I'm so glad that Jane Krakowski found success after this, because honestly, I would have called it quits.
You can't come back from this.
I would have walked into the ocean.
Can we talk about the Caboose's song?
Yes, but there's one song in front of that.
Oh, okay.
At least I think it is. Let me double check that. Nope, I lied. That's Me by CB, the Caboose, the Red Caboose.
All alone, you think you're on your own. You think there's no one in the world who cares for you. That isn't true. There's me. I may not be the one you want to see, but if you need someone who's kind, then look behind, and then you'll find there's me. I'll be near, standing by. Can cry in the wild, you will smile, and I will be there to see.
Look, I just there's just one lyric in this. Just because I smile all the time, don't mean I'm not into crime. Which is just it's just the best lyric I've ever heard.
Hats off to you, Richard Stilgo. They shouldn't have fired you off of Phantom of the Opera. You should have brought more of that over.
You did it. That's all I had to say. We could keep going.
Yeah, okay. I guess we have to talk about Starlight Express since it's the only song that you and I really actually can remember very well.
Starlight Express, you must confess. Are you real? Yes or no? Starlight Express, answer me yes. I don't want you to go. Want you to take me away, but bring me back before daylight and in the time between. Take me to everywhere, but don't abandon me there. Just want to say I believe in you completely, though I may be dreaming.
Starlight Express.
Starlight
That's really
Express.
The only part I remember, though.
I mean, it's them praying to God. It's boring. It's an Andrew Lloyd Webber fucking ballad.
It's this show's memory.
Oh, that's
like,
a
imagine,
sad thing to say. Memory is so much better.
Imagine if memory had like literally no emotional impact whatsoever.
This is how they end Act One. This is where we end on.
It keeps coming back too. They do it like three times.
Yeah, they do the same thing with memory.
Yeah, but memory is like with the last time they do it, it's like way more powerful than the other times that they did it. Whereas this one, it's just the same every single time.
Yeah, it starts at a 3 and it ends at a 2.5.
It gets less powerful. It's like the third time you hear it, you're just like, Starlight Express.
Starlight Express.
Yeah, I spent money to see this show.
Oh my god, $200 down the drain, am I right?
Hey, at least you get the Mega Mix at the end.
Starlight Express! Starlight Express! And you're just like, I want to go get my fucking coat. I just want to leave. Please.
I gotta go home. Gotta go home.
And you're just standing there. And like, there's probably at least 4 Brits in the audience like, oh, bloody hell, we got a Mega Mix.
It's
that.
A Mega Mix.
And you're like, just like seething
most
anger.
Most of the actors are singing, but like off, like slightly off stage, 2 of them have fallen over and broken both their legs.
They're getting their knees iced.
And all the British people in the audience are like, this is mighty amazing.
Oh,
it's like
Roy,
we're
show.
Really at the train yard. I'm sorry, British people. You're not. This is
Mina Maniri. Really. Prove, do better. Prove us wrong.
Yeah, this isn't really about you. I'm just having a giggle, mate.
Let's talk about Uncoupled, or UNCOUPLED, which is Dinah's big number, and it kind of starts Act Two. I like the song. I think it's cute. It's a funny number that succeeds and has a punchline.
Don't they spell out a swear in the song?
Yeah, it ends with B-A-S-T-A-R-D, which that's how it ends.
This is for kids!
Which is why they spell it.
Andrew Lloyd Webber, you wrote in the script, in the playbill, this is for children.
What can I say? Andrew Lloyd Webber is not the most consistent guy in the world. What do you want from me, Andrew?
Anything. Just, who is this show for?
The like, British honestly. People, apparently. The Brits and the Germans and nobody else. This is a great song. I like it. It's funny. I felt something other than dread of having to watch this show.
I'll be honest, I'm pretty sure I got Dinah and Pearl confused.
You did. You could refer back to earlier in the episode where you literally had them confused.
Yeah, so I may have missed the point.
And you know what, Andrew? That'll be enough for people that are like, oh, Starlight Express is my favorite fucking musical of all time. To be like, you guys didn't even watch it. You didn't even pay attention.
You didn't even understand it. It's like, bro.
I'm just waiting for it, Andrew. I'm waiting for the first person to be like, you just didn't understand the brilliance of Starlight Express. You know what? It's won more awards and acclamations than you guys will ever win. I can't wait for all 50 of those.
I ain't even mad, okay? I didn't understand this show. Are you kidding me? I don't know what the hell happened here. You can be mad. I mean, you watched it 3 times to understand it. I watched it once and I was like, you know what? I don't get it. Whatever.
This is what bothers me a lot, where I see people and peers of ours be like, you know what? No show's actually bad. You know what? Everyone put in a lot of effort to put together something great. Yeah, it's true. They could put a lot of effort into something bad. I've seen a lot of people put a lot of effort into making garbage. I'm sorry.
Are we really, do we have to have the take that everything that requires effort is good?
Apparently everyone is like, oh my God. Like,
I'm not even making fun of, like, I understand where they're coming from, because they're probably like, oh, those poor actors and you're being mean to them. But it's like, I don't even think the actors did bad here.
No.
I mean, they're roller skating around. This show just sucks.
There's only so much you can polish a turd. I'm sorry. You put a turd on roller skates, doesn't make it not a turd. Fuck.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, we shouldn't... I'm sad that this show may have ended some actors' careers. But honestly, that's the fault of the industry, not the fault of me saying that this show sucks.
No. This show should be, you know, not performed anymore. I guess people in Germany... Maybe there's some Germans like, you know, I really like this and it really speaks to me.
Maybe when it's translated into German, like all of the lyrics become like 800 times more meaningful.
Is German like in Germany? Is that roller skating like a national pastime?
Probably more so than in the United States, where we don't even have cities that allow you to roller skate.
Andrew, I'm bored of talking of Starlight Express. Yeah, I know we're only 47 minutes in. I don't give a shit. I think it's time for us to talk about Weber in the big scheme, because I think we're all done talking about the songs. We really have nothing to say there anyways.
Do you have anything to say on the new Cinderella? Did you check that out?
It's bad. I don't care which one you're talking about. Both of them are bad.
I didn't even know there was two of them, if I'm honest. Because I'm so out of the loop with the Cinderella thing. So the James Corden one, which looks terrible, by the way, that's not the Weber one.
No, it is not the Weber one.
Which one is that?
The ball sack logo. I will show you this, and you will be like, oh yeah, that does look like a ball sack.
What are you talking about exactly?
Andrew Lloyd Webber. And you're going to be like, oh yeah, that is a ball sack. Oh my God. All right.
Oh Lord.
I don't want to call you Rusty. I don't want to call you anything. I just want to call this episode over.
I ain't calling you Rusty. I ain't calling you at all.
Tell me that doesn't look like a ball sack.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the sides is bigger than the other. That is one old big nut sack.
What can I say?
So, how was that? Was it in keeping with the tradition of Weber shows of being always...
terrible?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it had an Oscar-winning, recently, Emerald Fennell, who just won an Oscar for Promising Young Woman, did the book for it and wrote the script, and it's very, very bad. It's cringy, but it is significantly better than the one on Amazon Prime.
So, the other Cinderella's is actually worse.
Yes, the one with James Corden is significantly worse.
Now, who made that one?
Sony Picture Studios, and it's a jukebox musical featuring songs like Material Girl. They
wanted to do The Greatest Showman.
They did. They really did. And it doesn't work. Like, I don't need another fucking Queen cover. I'm sick of it.
Also, James Corden with his head on a mouse body did we have to do that?
Apparently people just don't like making good things anymore.
People are like, yeah.
Want to hear a sad fact?
What?
That was the most streamed musical released in all of 2021. The fuck In the Heights. Fuck
In the Heights
Annette.
Was actually good, though.
I know.
In Annette, it wasn't even that bad. Like, Annette was like, okay.
I don't know what to tell you. This is just the world we're living in. And watch Dear Evan Hansen be the thing that really brings movie theaters back.
Oh!
This is an angry episode. This is angry time.
This is like very bitter anger built up over the 5 hours I put into watching Starlight Express.
Starlight Express.
Andrew, it's time for another tier list. Remember when we did this with Sondheim and I said next time we do an Andrew Lloyd Webber, we're going to do it for him?
Yeah, sure.
Are you ready?
Yeah, sure. Tier list.
Alrighty.
I'm writing it down so I can keep track. I did A, B, C, D last time.
Yes.
Right?
And Juliet, will you update this in the document you have created for the Sondheim one? This will be for Andrew Lloyd Webber, and we'll update this as we go.
All right. Can you just list out? And
let's
then
start
I'll
with Starlight Express because that is the most fresh in your mind.
Starlight Express is D tier. Absolutely. I mean, I don't have an F tier in the ranking system I'm using here, but it deserves that.
Okay. Okay. So that is the worst one, I forget. Is F tier the worst?
I don't have an F tier, so D tier is the worst.
Okay, so D tier is the lowest we can go. I believe the one we did previous to that was Cats.
Cats the movie or Cats the show?
We're doing strictly shows.
I'm like almost tempted to give Cats a B tier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is the most shocking information I've gotten.
I'm going to give it C because now I'm like remembering how long it is.
Yeah, Cats is very long and we've only watched it once.
I like memory. I'm going to be real. I like memory. I think it's good. And some of the dancing is good, but like it's so long. I'm going to give it C tier.
All right. Then Evita.
Evita is A tier.
A tier, all right.
I liked Evita.
I don't think if we go back to the episode, you were talking very positively about it, but that's fine.
You have to consider the context of the tier list. This is a Webber-only tier list.
You're right. And then before that was Sunset Boulevard.
I feel like that's A as well.
That's fine. I don't blame you, but See, I feel like Andrew Lloyd Webber's getting a curve that Sondheim did not get.
Well, Sondheim is good enough that he doesn't need a curve.
You're right.
Like, if these were all on a normal tier list, I feel like B would be the top tier that he could make it to.
Okay. Then we got Love Never Dies.
Love Never Dies is D tier.
Really? That's on par with Starlight Express? At least I understood what happened in Love Never Dies.
I fucking hated it, though. It, like, ruined everything that was good in Phantom, and it just sucks.
Really? Okay. It's your list, your choice.
That's my pick.
All right, then Phantom.
Phantom. Yeah, it's going B tier, because I don't think it's as good as Sunset or Evita.
Really? Oh, that's shocking. I mean, not really shocking, but surprising.
I'm considering it. It might be equal. I might bump that up.
Because I'm about to say, I don't love Phantom, but I think it's on par with the other best Andrew Lloyd Webber stuff.
You know what? You've convinced me. It's A tier. It's good enough.
On
it's A-tier.
This hand, this has not been an episode we've done, but it is something you've watched for our Patreon. It is Joseph.
Joseph is S tier, which is above A tier. Joseph is... I'm going to put that in A tier as well, because I just have so much fun with that show. So
do you think you'd have as much fun if we rewatched it for a proper episode?
Probably not, but I've only watched it once, and that will be the only time I ever watch it. So
you say that, but we're gonna do an episode sometime soon. We have to.
I'm just gonna do it by memory.
No, I will give you a new link, a new thing.
Oh Lord, come back to me. It'll probably be get dropped down to B tier, but we're gonna keep it an A for right now.
All
right,
so Juliet, good luck with that. I'm doing a last scroll to make sure I'm not missing anything.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh yeah, Superstar. I knew we were forgetting.
Depending
something.
On which one we're talking about, it's either C tier or A tier.
I think it's just the musical in general.
Okay. The best version of it is A tier.
Okay.
Which it actually looks like he has a lot of A tier stuff compared to Sondheim, but that's because this is all graded on a curve. So you kind of have to consider
where would
that.
The A tier on Webber go with the tier of Sondheim?
I feel like if we mixed these together, probably most of the A tier would get dropped to B tier. I would probably drop Phantom to B tier. Joseph is a meme, and I'm going to keep it in A tier as a meme. I might drop Sunset Boulevard to B tier.
Because I don't like Sunset. Like, I've rewatched it recently, and I feel like I was a little too positive about it in the episode.
I think Superstar and Evita are the only ones that could really compete with any of Sondheim's best stuff.
I agree. But then again, we haven't seen School of Rock. I mean, how about...
Which, maybe I should just correct this list and just move the three here, Sunset, Phantom, and Joseph down to B tier.
Keep which is Joseph I was and A tier for the lulz.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I did like Joseph a fuck ton.
You so. Really did. I remember that night and being shocked. I expect us to beam on
all right. Sunset Boulevard and Phantom are getting moved down to B tier. So final ranking, A tier, Evita, Joseph, and Jesus Christ Superstar. B tier, Sunset Boulevard, and Phantom of the Opera. C tier is Cats, and D tier is Starlight and Love Never Dies.
Wow. I think Starlight is significantly worse than Love Never Dies, but that's just a me thing.
Might agree, but I do remember really disliking Love Never Dies, and I actually remember being sad that I couldn't be as negative as I wanted to be in the episode.
Really?
Because you and the guest liked it quite a bit.
No, she hated it. The guest really, really hated it. I was the one on the defense.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You liked it enough that I couldn't speak negatively on it.
And that was because we were very early on. I feel like that's one of the episodes that might do for a revisit someday.
I just remember really not liking it at all.
Well, let's take a look at what Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals we have not covered. So we can kind of take a look in the future. So we have a Patreon request for By Jeeves. So that'll be coming soon. I know very little about that show.
Oh, Lord.
Tell Me on a Sunday, which I know very little. Song and Dance, very little. Cricket, I don't think I've ever heard of that. It was first performed for Queen Elizabeth II's birthday.
Oh, wow, how fun.
Aspects of Love, which I've heard terrible things. Whistle Down the Wind, terrible things. The Beautiful Game, terrible things. The Woman in White, so bad that even South Park made fun of it.
So bad that South Park made fun of it, okay.
The Wizard of Oz, which we did cover the movie, but Andrew Lloyd Webber made his own adaptation where he wrote like 3 new songs for it. I don't think it's worth its own episode, but it is worth mentioning that he did do that.
Okay.
Stephen Ward, which I hear is just unwatchably bad. School of Rock, and then Cinderella.
School of Rock, I don't know how people interpreted that.
People thought it was either a lot of fun, like, I don't feel like anyone could have a really intense negative opinion on that show.
I like the movie.
So Alex Brightman, who you know from Beetlejuice, was Dewey in that movie.
That's a good fit. I mean, yeah. he's got a Jack Black vibe.
Yeah, and he did fine. It's a fine adaptation with some lame songs.
Very cool. I'm excited to...
We got a bright future ahead of us, Andrew.
Yeah. Got a very... Why does he have so many shows? Who is allowing this to happen?
Well, when you're very, very rich, they just kind of let you do what you want.
Very cool.
You know what? You know who definitely lets us do what we want?
Our patrons?
Our wonderful patrons. Thank you guys for listening. Please follow us on... Oh, wait, no, hold on. Andrew, what is your overall thoughts on... Starlight Express and your cheese rating?
Oh, good Lord. Holy fucking shit.
So
this
bad.
Was boring as hell and just terrible. And like, I kind of went in expecting to like have a goof and like laugh it up, like have some yucks. Because I got done watching The Apple, and
yeah.
Like, that was like, you know, that was like, everyone was telling me like, oh, this is like a really bad one, but like, it's fun or whatever. And I kind of was like, oh, okay, well, that was a really fun show and I enjoyed it a lot. So like, let's check it out. Starlight Express, it's a similar length. Everyone says it's bad. I'm sure it's going to be a goof and, you know, a big old chuckle. And holy fucking shit, it is so goddamn boring. This goddamn show feels... It's an hour and a half, and it feels like 3 goddamn hours. Holy shit. Don't watch this. Just don't.
Go for a walk. Hug your family.
Like, honestly, I would say listen to, like, maybe the one Starlight Express song, but it's not even good enough to do that. Just listen to Memory again. Like, my God. And as a cheese rating, it's like, you're on a train, right? And
you're waiting for a train. Don't know what
you're waiting for a train. You don't know. And the person comes up and is like, hey, would you like a snack or something? And they bring you like,
garbage
a bag of, like really cheap cheese snacks and they taste stale and, they're the only thing you have to eat for like the next 3 hours. So that is, stale, train snacks that are cheese related. We'll pretend this doesn't. It's not even cheesy. Like, for a show about people roller skating around, they don't even like lean in. Like, god damn.
They were anti fun, anti anyone enjoying it. Even though Andrew Lloyd Webber swears it was for children.
That's just a cop out, I feel
it
like.
It really was. Imagine like, being like, the cast who like
oh, he knows it's not entertaining, so it was for kids.
That's what George Lucas did with the prequels.
Yeah.
It's a movie for 5-year olds.
Well, it's, if you didn't enjoy it, it's because you're too old. You didn't
Starlight Express bad. Do literally anything else than try to embrace it yourself.
It's not even like you can't even get drunk and enjoy it. It's just not there.
So the only cheese rating I can give it is queso de papa, because there's a papa character in it.
Ah, very nice.
Kill me. Thank you guys for listening. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher at Musicals with Cheese. We're on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals. We're on Patreon at Musicals with Cheese. Instagram Musicals with Cheese. We have a YouTube page, Musicals with Cheese. Liz Esten is creating some incredible videos out there. Why don't you watch them? It's better than Starlight Express, I'll tell you that. We have a patron-only podcast called Patreon with Cheese. Check that out. We have an email. Shoot us an email, musicaltheaterliz@gmail.com, to tell us why we're so wrong about Starlight Express and why we're not understanding its secret brilliance or some shit. Our title card is created by the amazing Jolene Casco. Go send her some love at Jolene Casco on Instagram. Our keeper of the cheese is Juliet Antonio. Juliet, I'm sorry you had to listen this far. I'm sure it was fairly angry an episode. This show is produced by the amazing, the wonderful, oh God, please come back, Brianna Jones! Bree, this is what it's like without you! Okay. Our themes were created by the amazing Robin Nash of IOUmusic.uk or whatever. Thank you to the Broadway Podcast Network for having us on the platform and for not, you know, like, filleting our bodies open because we talk shit about Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber. Andrew, is there anything else you have left to say?
Starlight Express!
Starlight Express! I'm rolling stock!
I don't have anything to say. We're leaving. We're done.
We'll see you next time on Musicals with Cheese. Starlight Express! Starlight Express! I'm a choo-choo train! Choo-choo-choo-choo!
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.